think it's less likely than more likely. It's hard to see that there would be crowds in the sort of later part of the year, but it's not impossible. It's ultimately going to be up to the Chief Health Officer, and that'll ultimately be a function of how well we're progressing in terms of the suppression of the virus, whether or not there's been a vaccine successfully created, and whether or not we've successfully eradicated it or suppressed it almost entirely from the Australian continent. And all of those things are really unknown as we sit here today. So it'd be great to be definitive. It'd be great to be able to rule things in or out, but it's just not possible to do that as we sit here in late April.
Martin Pakula, the Victorian Minister for Sport and Major Events, talking about maybe crowds being possible later this year in a best-case scenario. He went on to say that we'd need, well, probably two full cycles, as he said, of 14-day periods without any further cases. If there were zero active cases and zero new cases for two full cycles, then it would be a whole new world for the governing bodies and the health experts to contemplate. Sam Edmonds has been good enough to join me for Illusion Gas Log Fires, clearing all current stock right now, illusionfires.com.au. You, welcome to you, Sam.
Thanks, Dwayne. Good to talk to you. Hope you're holding up well. And clarity is coming, Dwayne. I know you've got Sean Higgins on the program in a tick under half an hour, but shortly after he hangs up with you, he will join an AFLPA hookup with, at least 800 of his contemporaries have been invited into that Zoom hookup, and they will finally be given some concrete information, Dwayne.
On their return to training day, because at the moment they're going to get a bit of a head start in WA. They can get together in groups of 10. So it can't happen before May 11 in Victoria, because the state of emergency is staying here in Victoria until May 11. So pretty much May 11 could be the day that they could get back. That's the earliest.
Well, at the core of this meeting this afternoon, Dwayne, and it will be followed by a mass survey to the playing group as well, just to temperature check the room, as it were. But the main core or the main issue of this meeting is principally around the AFL's plans, return to play plans. Their Project Return Working Group has relayed some information to the AFL Players Association. It's a tightly guarded secret at the moment. But the players will be told this afternoon, Dwayne, what the hubs look like, how long they might be in there for, where they will be. Will they get a break, and all the specifics around what those hubs look like, which they have been craving, as we all have.
Absolutely. So as we've been talking about a bit, they get the doubt taken out of their mind, which is fantastic news for the players, and the public will probably hear 10 minutes later when it leaks. You'll find out for us and let us know.
That's the aim, Dwayne. But I can tell you that, I mean, the players are going to be in hubs for a period of time. Now, how much time remains to be seen, but we've already heard concerns, basically. We can put them from the likes of Rory Sloane and Paddy Dangerfield initially, and a number of other players who, you know, aren't exactly jumping out of their skin. Some of them are, parents of young families, their fathers at different stages of their lives. Like, you think of someone like Tim Kelly, for example, who's over there in Perth, and all these sort of players. Now, some clubs at the moment, Dwayne, are actually currently taking stock of how many players in their playing group will be unavailable under a hub scenario, because there will be some. There will be some players who simply won't want to sign up for the period of time that they'll be required to be away from their family. So that's the reality of the situation. But
will they get
we'll
paid?
Aim to put some. What's that?
Will they get paid?
You would assume not, but I'm not privy to the inner workings of how that will look should they make that decision. But all that will be worked out in the fullness of time, and as will the crowd, which I heard the Minister earlier, Martin Pakula, whether we all hope that crowds will be allowed in. We all hope that border restrictions will be lifted, and after maybe an initial phase of hubs, we can get back to some sort of normal season in terms of teams flying in and out. But assuming that won't be the case, we're going to have some extended periods here where players will be forced to live in conditions or scenarios that they would never have imagined.
Yeah, well, I mean, talking about crowds today sounds ridiculous in some respects, but, you know, a month ago on this program, we were talking about hubs and they were called, you know, fanciful and immoral. So all of a sudden, we're now going to get them. I don't think it's that big a deal if 20 players around the AFL say no. If they say no, that's fine. We allow them that. And I think that's personal choice. And
I'm with you.
It's something that we just got to move on from. Personal choice. We don't have these 25 players, it's okay, but the rest want to play and we play, because it's an extraordinary situation that those 20 players who say no are in right now.
And I think the players want to do the right thing, Dwayne, at its core. But, of course, there's other priorities at play and other realities come into the situation. But they, generally speaking, want to do the right thing. So we'll see what happens this afternoon, Dwayne. We'll keep a close eye on it. We'll bring it to you if we can prior to you leaving us this afternoon. But so much to work out.
Hey, Alistair Lynch was on the show yesterday, and it was ironic. I want to ask you, is the relocation of a Melbourne-based team now Tassie's only hope? Strange coincidence yesterday. Two key figures in Tassie's push for an AFL licence in two different states said pretty much exactly the same thing about Tassie maybe being the new home of a financially struggling Victorian team. You know, all but giving up on Tassie having a 19th licence as a new team of their own. Firstly, here's Lynchy on this show yesterday.
They put together a really good plan and presentation for the AFL that, you know, was compelling. I think it has been put back a little bit now. I mean, the pressure, I think still the pressure, when we think of the AFL competition as a truly national competition, I think more it'll be pressure on Melbourne clubs in time to relocate to somewhere like Tassie. So that'll be something that probably is 10, 15 years down the track. But as I always thought, even over the last 6 to 9 months, it's something Tassie has to get right to start with. They can't go in half cooked to make sure that they get a team straight away as soon as possible. I think they're better off just taking their time, making sure it's a sustainable club for a long period of time. So, but to answer your question, yeah, I think it will be put on the back burner in the short term.
So I thought that was just Gazy spitballing about a Melbourne-based team maybe being an option until the Tasmanian Premier, Peter Goodwine, said this.
If you're going to call it a national competition, then out of this, set up a national competition and use this as an opportunity, as every business in the country is, to actually to review its expenditures, to review where it's achieving its revenues from. And here is an opportunity for them to consider whether or not they need all of the current teams that they've got and whether or not Tasmania could be a part of the national competition moving forward.
So what do you make of that little debate, Sam? That's a little fire that started out of nowhere.
What are you alluding to there? Lynchy's got a line into the Premier.
Well, it just seems to be that they were on the same page for 2 years, he and Nick Riewoldt and all the Tasmanian people about a 19th team, a 19th team, a 19th team. I'd never heard any of this relocation of a Melbourne-based team from any of them for 2 years. I don't think they even contemplated or you know, mentioned it just in messing around. And yet, all of a sudden, on the same day, a Victorian team got a mention from both.
Love a good conspiracy theory, Dwayne. You might be onto something there. All I know is, hasn't the messaging changed from Tasmania? It was almost cap in hand sort of stuff, wasn't it? Look at poor old us down here. We deserve a team. We're part of the fabric of the game. And I'm not arguing with that. They're 100% right. But the sympathy vote wasn't exactly pouring in, was it? So they've now brought the machete out. And look, they're going to fight fire with fire. I don't mind it from Peter Goodwin, the Tasmanian Premier.
And before we let you go, not a good day for Ben Mellum.
No, absolutely not. Hit with 7 charges, 2 if you don't mind, by Racing Victoria stewards. He is alleged to have placed a number of big bets over a 7-month period. 2 of those bets on his own rides. 1 of those rides he saluted on. He won. So that's a big, big issue for Ben Mellum at the moment. And look, even though racing is the only sport on at the moment, Dwayne, and we love it, they have had their fair share of pothole incidents in recent times. And you'd like to think the law will be applied to its fullest here on the top jockey, Ben Mellum.
Yeah, I can see that myself. Great stuff, Sam. Always good to chat to you. We'll talk again tomorrow. Or maybe later today if something breaks. Sam Edmund, SEN's chief reporter, joining us. Back to your calls, 1300 736 736, the open line for Werribee Kia, staying open to help Victorians through this at Werribee Kia. You can drop in and see their complete range of new Kias, or take one for a test drive, or take your car in for a service. Open for business down at Werribee Kia. And if you want to join me on the Speckle, text 0433 98 11 16. Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. Still to come, Daniel Garb to talk soccer, Sean Higgins to talk some more AFL, North Melbourne star. But your calls straight after this.